Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I mean, we talk to Craig Stout next.
Big Sunday.
Welcome back to Big Sunday, hour number two, which we will start with the Kansas City Chiefs, the NFL draft, and Chief coaching changes. Even though the Chiefs haven't made anything official, one thing is for sure, Matt House was going to be the linebacker coach for the Chiefs, and I was one that was really excited. The guy I'm about to bring on the line was excited as well. His name's Craig Stout. Follow him on Twitter, at Barley Hop, arrowheadpride.com. He has charted every single defensive play for the Kansas City Chiefs this year and looked for a lot of good draft stuff from Craig Stout, who, by the way, went to the Senior Bowl as well. Craig, good morning.
Good morning, Bink. Yeah, we got to lead off with the unfortunate news of Matt House today, don't we?
We do, and I know you were a big fan of Matt House. Matter of fact, I used some of your quotes in a story I did when I thought we were getting him. Matt House was defensive coordinator at Kentucky, sixth in the nation in scoring defense. A guy at Pittsburgh also helped develop Aaron Donald, and somebody that I thought was a real fit for toughness, physicality, especially stopping the run game. And I know you had him on your list in your top five defensive coordinator candidates for the Kansas City Chiefs. It looked like you were getting the best of both worlds. You were going to get him with Spags with the Kansas City Chiefs that could be defensive coordinator eventually. And then we find out news, he ain't coming, Craig.
I know. I really thought that my world had just kind of aligned there. This was the guy I put my name on as a defensive coordinator candidate, and the Chiefs are going to get him as a linebackers coach. Now, the Kentucky supposedly granted the Chiefs the ability to negotiate his buyout so that they could bring him in, and Matt House wanted to be here. And then before they even got to the table, I guess Kentucky withdrew that negotiation and brought him back to Kentucky. We found all this out. Rap Sheet and Therese Paylor both tweeted that out last night. It makes me wonder if this saga is over, if the Chiefs really put that kind of out there to try and make Kentucky move a little bit, because that's a really bad look for the University of Kentucky if they're not willing to let their coaching staff kind of go on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, I don't get that, man. I don't get that. That would, to me, that would cause some bitterness. Like, hey, you don't want me to get elevated? Why should I come coach for you? I mean, if I'm another coach and looking at Kentucky, I'm sitting there and wait a minute. Well, why would you do this to Matt House? Ian Rappaport said, my understanding is Kentucky was originally slated to negotiate the buyout for Matt House to be the Chiefs linebacker coach, then decided against it. Was told House wanted to be in KC, position open once again. Now, if he wanted to be in Kansas City and you're not letting him, I've seen employees that are told they can't go somewhere else, and it's not a good ending.
No, it's never a good ending. And it really harms your ability to not only get good coaches, but also to recruit. Players notice that as well. If a player's sitting there and watching that and going, okay, well, you know, why doesn't this coach care about us going on to the next level? Because that's what these colleges are doing. They're preparing these players to go on to the next level and sort of go above and beyond this program, as well as, you know, being able to wear the colors, be alumni for that. You know, now all of a sudden, if Matt House gets out of Kentucky, let's say he gets out next year, because his contract's supposed to end next June. If he gets out next year, he's just going to walk now. Does he really want to have a conversation with Kentucky about staying? Is this just going to be a year where he's there and he's going to put in his full effort because he needs to make himself look good, but he's not planning on signing with Kentucky next year? It'll be really interesting to see I don't know that this is done yet.
I'm not sure either. As Therese Paylor said, too, he went on, as you said, KC or UK decided not to let him out of his deal, but they only did that after they agreed to negotiate the buyout. That's going back on your word, man. If you've agreed to negotiate a buyout, which the Chiefs would gladly pay because, as I've always said, there's no salary cap for coaches. You can pay whatever you want, and trust me, the Chiefs have the money to do it. When you think you're gone and then you're not gone and you have a chance to go to an NFL and you're thinking, man, I can get a Super Bowl ring with the Kansas City Chiefs, work with Spags, get myself into the NFL, get myself to NFL defensive coordinator at some point, which will probably be, I'd be a little bitter about this, and I'm very, very disappointed. And maybe things will change. Maybe they'll have a change of heart, because I know having a guy that's not happy is not good.
And then just having that sort of albatross following you around as a program, that you wouldn't let that guy out, that's not good at all either. And you said, you hit the nail on the head right there with the Super Bowl ring part. Listen, the University of Kentucky, that football program has come a long way, and he especially has done wonders for that defense and really progressed them on. They were top 20 in the NCAA, but he's probably not getting a championship at Kentucky anytime soon. He may be looking at this as, let's go to Kansas City. There's a legit shot at the ring. They're rebuilding all of this staff, and then I can go on from there, become an NFL defensive coordinator, maybe an NFL head coach eventually. But the path through Kansas City certainly looks a lot more prosperous than it does through Kentucky.
Well, speaking of defense, and again, we'll take this with a grain of salt because you never know if the Patriots will play dirty ball. But it looks like Brendan Daly to the Kansas City Chiefs in the same role as the New England Patriots, defensive line coach. Dude has three rings. His wife happens to be from Kansas City, so it's a good fit. And he has a history with Spags in St. Louis, 09 to 11. To me, if I'm Belichick, I'm worried about this because the Chiefs pose the biggest problem to the Patriots.
Absolutely. And this is a guy that really works those defensive lines. He gets a lot out of a little. I mean, the entire Patriots defense definitely does, and a lot of that we can chalk up to Bill Belichick and the system that he runs for certain. But if you watch Brendan Daly, you watch any of the videos that were posted, he did a bunch of pro days last year, and you kind of get to see him work with guys. One of the guys he worked with was Harold Landry last year. Harold Landry was a very raw prospect coming out, and just to see him working with him, explaining minute details, explaining things that he needed to manipulate and work on, and was really just kind of giving him everything he could as a coach. That I watched that video and got legitimately excited about what he could do with this Chiefs defensive line. I think we know that we're going to have quite a few new pieces in this front seven. I think there's going to be a lot of depth guys. There are going to be a lot of drafted guys that are going to be in there. Having a guy that knows how to do this at a high level, been to Super Bowls, won Super Bowls with that defensive line, that's wonderful for the Chiefs.
Well, let's hope this deal goes through. It is a lateral move, so let's keep our fingers crossed that this actually happens.
Absolutely. I don't know what to believe anymore. Right now, you know, yesterday afternoon, Matt House and Brendan Daly and Dave Merritt were all coming to Kansas City, and I was really excited about that. Now I'm not sure if any of them are.
What about Dave Merritt? This was a guy that was with the Cards. Cards finished, what, fourth in defense in the secondary. Looks like he was going to go to Jacksonville to be a defensive line coach. So that he was going to switch positions there and that he could become a Chief. And again, the Chiefs haven't put out official release at all. I think they're waiting until it's all done before they put out one massive release. Here's the staff of Steve Spagnuolo.
I'd agree with that. I think that they're just waiting for the whole thing to be done. They don't want to have, you know, a bunch of piecemeal things coming through here. They want to get the whole staff done. They've done that in the past. That makes sense to me. Regarding Dave Merritt, he's a really good safeties coach. He is sort of the guy that got Landon Collins right from his rookie year to hit it hard and be, you know, a high productive player those first few years in the league. As you know, as a safeties coach, like you said, he was in Arizona last year. Trey Boston was a guy that very late in the process that was still a free agent. got brought into Arizona, and he really got all those guys up. Trey Boston had a career year last year under Dave Merritt. That's another guy that we might be looking at, another free agent that could be on the safety market. But I think Dave Merritt comes with a lot of really really good clout, working with a lot of these really good safeties and helping them to be the best versions of themselves. We might see some free agents come here to Kansas City just because of Dave Merritt.
What, weren't the Jags going to move him to the line or something like that? I know they'd put a press release out.
I think what that was trying to get good coaches into the building. That's the real question mark there. Yes, he was going to be an assistant defensive line coach.
Yes.
Now, he knows all of those Jaguar secondary coaches because they are also former Spagnuolo coaches as well. We kind of looked at some of them to see who would get out, but realistically, Jacksonville's a great spot to be a secondary coach. So I wonder if they were really just trying to get him under their umbrella in-house to try and, you know, hold him there. But obviously this position came open and it's a better one for him.
Trez Paylor has a great piece out at Yahoo Sports talking about how Nadi Speaks and O'Daniel originally projected to be ideal fits in a 4-3 scheme, and especially Breland Speaks. I think Dorian O'Daniel, great on the outside as a linebacker, but man, Breland Speaks not asked to be a linebacker, be on that defensive line, I think might do wonders for him.
Absolutely. Breland Speaks is arguably the biggest benefit of this change. I mean, Brett Veach even said it in a teleconference the other day, talked about how they really kind of envisioned him as a five tech in the 3-4, but that his real true fit was as a 4-3 defensive end. Now, you read that quote and you wonder, why didn't they use him as a five tech more? I think that just the outside linebacker rotation last year was not great, and that kind of forced their hand with Speaks. But I think we'll see him in kind of a true role, more of a wide nine rusher, ability to get after the quarterback just with his motor, not necessarily his rush plan, but he's also going to be able to stop the run pretty well as well. I think he could be a key piece going forward in this thing.
So what do we think with the linebackers at this point? Hitchens in the middle, O'Daniel, strong side or weak side for him? Would you say weak side?
I'd say weak side. I think weak side's going to keep the most sort of trash and blockers off of him. And I think that he's still going to struggle a little bit with his play strength and size, even with a year in an NFL conditioning program. So I think you want to keep the trash off of him and just kind of let him play downhill and roam.
Now, I've done some stuff on 610sports.com. I've taken a look at corners. I've taken a look at safeties. I took a look at tight ends. I've just finished my look at wide receivers. And I've tried to, you know, put people on there that I think the Chiefs actually have a chance at. A few of them, they probably don't have a chance at because they're going to end up going to go to the combine and elevate. But, man, I'm telling you, after doing this, the tight end position and the wide receiver position loaded in the second round, where the Chiefs conceivably, with their first three picks, go defense, defense, and then weapon for Pat Mahomes.
Oh, man, I would be completely on board with this. This tight end class is stacked. This receiver class doesn't have the same top-end talent. Next year's receivers class is going to have so much top-end talent in it, but then it's going to fall off a cliff. This is kind of that in-between. That second-round spot will be that sweet spot. They're going to need a sort of slot receiver, I think. I think Chris Conley's gone. I don't know DeMarcus Robinson's fate. He saves $2 million against the cap if you cut him. I think that there's some possibility for the Chiefs to go out and sort of target another weapon on that side of the ball. And then tight end makes sense as well because Demetrius Harris is also likely gone. So there's a couple spots that could be filled and some really good depth there. I agree, Vic. Yeah.
Well, one guy I don't think they're going to have a chance is Marquise Brown at Oklahoma because he reminds me that could be like a Tyreek Hill type of player. But one guy that I really like is DK Metcalf at Ole Miss. 6'4", 230 pounds. You talk about a tweener, as Booger would say, a Popeye's biscuit away from a tight end. But, man, the guy moves at that size at wide receiver. And that could be a position for the Chiefs in a Kelvin Benjamin type role, but much better.
Yeah, he gained separation. He's not Kelvin Benjamin in that regard. He will gain separation, especially off the line of scrimmage. He can beat a press already. He can beat an NFL press already. He's got lots of speed, and he's great on jump balls. I think he is that sort of next element to the Chiefs' offense that they don't have right now. Watkins more of the refined route runner, but not necessarily a good jump ball guy. And then Tyreek, the speed guy. You add in that sort of big threat that can beat the press. Ooh, buddy, that could be an offense that is scary.
Craig Stout, defensive film analyst at Arrowhead Pride. I talked to Kent Friday. I keep checking with you guys to see where you're at as far as prospect rankings. I think, 180 is what I heard last time. But Kent was telling me maybe more this weekend. Where are you guys at now?
We are up close to 190. After the kid goes down for a nap, I'm going to sit down and get through a few more corners and linebackers. And we're gonna try and be at 200 by the end of the day today.
Oh, man.
So that's a good start for us.
You guys are doing great work. Great work at Arrowhead Pride. This is something new. This is something I enjoy. This is something I love when you guys put out this information. Craig, got to ask you a question. Did you watch the AAF last night? Did you enjoy it?
I did. I actually really did enjoy it. I watched San Diego versus San Antonio. Wasn't the best game to be watching from a talent standpoint, but I just love all the little tweaks they do. I'll tell you what, I lost my mind when they had the camera on the replay assistant explaining what was said. I think that's a no-brainer. Why wouldn't you bring that into the NFL next year? That makes so much sense.
Yeah, I think they actually, and their plan long-term is to be the NFL Developmental League. That's what Bill Polian said. I think it'd be great for practice squad guys, some of your young assistants, some of your quality control coaches to get an opportunity to coach. I was watching Logan Woodside in San Antonio. That's a guy I had going to the Chiefs in like the seventh or a free agent. I love Logan Woodside at Toledo. And not as a starting quarterback or anything, more of a Tyler Bray type role, guy to have on your roster. But I loved Logan Woodside. I don't know, have you picked a team yet to like, or are you gonna just wait a while?
I have. I actually picked a team last summer when they announced coaching.
All right.
And when I heard that Mike Singletary was coaching the Memphis Express, I was all aboard. I was 100% all aboard. I am Mike Singletary.
I kind of like Birmingham Iron, but we'll see. They'll be on later today on CBS Sports Network. I'll check them out.
Yeah.
I do like San Antonio Commanders, though. I'm not going to lie. I think I kind of enjoyed that team. So we'll see. But now Orlando Apollos, I know they got a ton of critics scoring 40 points, and Spurrier looked like that offensive genius again. But they beat the Atlanta Legends, and they had Brad Childress bolt, and then Michael Vick bolted from offensive coordinator. So they didn't have a coaching staff that they had to put together, but it looks like Michael Vick is going to work for the AAF now instead of them. But they've had all sorts of problems, man. No wonder Spurrier scored his points.
Absolutely. And then on the other hand, when you watch the Mike Martz offense, I was reminded what the Mike Martz offense was again. You know, it had been a little while since I'd really focused on it, but, you know, under center, seven-step drops to get your quarterback killed, three out of the four plays that you run on that drive. It was good to see some of these old guys back out there again teaching these practice squad guys.
Well, Craig, I've kept you way too long on a Sunday morning. Get the kid a nap. Get some more. Get up to 200 prospects. I look forward to looking at your work, you, Matt Lane, and Ken Swanson, do some extra. Who's the other guy working with you? Is it Morley?
Yeah, Jake Morley.
Jake Morley, okay.
He's a guy that is actually a Packers fan, but he's been doing draft stuff with Kent for several years. They're really close friends. He's a great draft analyst as well.
Well, I'll have to start checking some of that stuff out too. Craig Stout at Barley Hop on Twitter. I'm thinking beer and football at the same time, and we talked some AAF, which I loved. Thanks, Craig.
Thanks, Frank.
There you go, Craig Stout right there. Brett Veach has some decisions to make. What are you going to do with D Ford? You going to give Tyreek Hill and Chris Jones a new contract? He addressed those things as well.
Big Sunday.
Welcome back. Very excited about the NFL draft, as you could probably tell. Wide receivers coming out later today who the Chiefs could look at. Again, the second round is loaded. Second round in this year's draft looks like tremendous value. It's a great thing the Chiefs have two picks in that second round. Very excited about that. But they do have some decisions to make. Now, the Ford contract looms large. Do you franchise him, tag or not? He was a first-round pick. The Chiefs had picked up his fifth-year option 2 years ago, so he played on his fifth-year option this year. Had the best career in his career. But Mike Smith, the outside linebackers coach, was he a big part of it? He's now in Green Bay. So what does it mean on D. Ford? Chris Jones, Tyreek Hill, Brett Veach address these contract situations.
Yeah, well, listen, first with D, he had an outstanding season. You know, he was at the top of his game, and really when we drafted D a few years ago, all those things that we kind of envisioned for him, he kind of showed that, you know, he was that player. And you know, we are running a different scheme now, and you know, Chiefs has a chance to – he actually started the process on Monday, go through the roster and kind of look at these guys. Again, not knowing where they're drafted or how much money they're making, and just give you a pure feel on, you know, strengths, weaknesses, and how we can get better. And then we'll kind of throw our dialogue in there with the other information in regards to, you know, what we can do to get creative in regards to structuring this thing from a cap standpoint. But, you know, obviously D's a player that, you know, had done so much for us, in particular last year, that, you know, we're excited about bringing him back. And then with Chris and Tyreek, again, you're talking about two guys that are now eligible for extensions, and there are guys that we drafted and guys that have done tremendously in regards to just getting better year in and year out, and you know, being dominant players, and we'll certainly have a lot of dialogue with their agents as we get closer to the combine, and I'm sure that, you know, we want them here for a long time, and I'm sure that they want to be here, which is a good thing. Certainly we have a special thing brewing here, and I think everyone wants to keep this thing rolling. So look forward to getting with their agents, and if we don't hear from them in the next week or two, we're all going to be at the combine together, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of discussions in regards to how we can make this work for everyone.
Sit down, have a nice steak. What's that steakhouse in Indianapolis? St. Elmo's, something like that? I think it's a steakhouse. Sit down with the agents. Talk to them. Big decisions. This is what's fun. This is what's fun about being a Chiefs fan. You have your team in the AFC title game. So all we're sitting here is looking at is, okay, how can we get just a little bit better? How can we get just a little bit better to get over that hump? And with Tyreek Hill and Chris Jones, you're going to have to make a decision. I'll be honest with you. I feel their arrows both going straight up. Herm Edwards used to say, you pay guys when the arrow's going up. You don't when the arrow's going down. The Colts used to do this as well. Edger and James, their leading rusher. They decide to move on with him before the Super Bowl, and they get Joseph Addai that comes in through the draft. They win a ring with them. The Patriots have been well known not to pay you that second contract. But a guy like Chris Jones, 15 and a half sacks, it's always getting better. Arrow's still going straight up. You're still going to get production 3 or 4 years. Tyreek Hill, the same thing. They become interesting situations. They were both picked second round and below. Chris Jones, second round pick. Tyreek Hill, fifth round pick. Which you can renegotiate contracts after the third year. With first-round picks, you get that fifth-year option. So if your first-round with Chris Jones is lucky being a second-rounder and not a first-rounder, because he almost was a first-rounder, and Dorsey would have taken him in the first round, but you redrafted it, Chris Jones is a first-rounder, so is Tyreek Hill. But you're paying Tyreek Hill fifth-round money. As a matter of fact, this year the Chiefs paid Mahomes, Kelsey, Tyreek Hill, and Kareem Hunt $10 million. For them all, you pay Sammy Watkins $16 million. That is a tremendous, tremendous bargain. That's why you got to win. And that's why I think this offseason is so interesting for the Kansas City Chiefs, because you're that close. You're on the doorstep to getting the Super Bowl. It's what makes it so fun. It's what makes the draft fun. What pieces can come in here and not redshirt them like Tano Passanio? What players can come in here and make a difference with this team? That's the players they need. They need rookies that can make a difference. You need rookies that can be rookie of the year. You need to have talent that comes right in and plays. The Chiefs can't afford the redshirt. Their window is open right now. And that's what makes this whole offseason fun. Last year's offseason was fun because we knew we were going to have Patrick Mahomes. Made the offseason fun. Year before that, not so much. Because you knew you had Alex Smith coming back and Bob Sutton. That excitement and joy wasn't there. But now I feel like it's all Chiefs all the time, because we're excited about the draft. We're excited about free agency. What can the Chiefs do to just get a little bit better? Again, they were almost there. They gave up 36 first downs to the Patriots, 44 minutes of time of possession, but yet almost won. Now, the other big question is, which I feel is going to get an injury settlement, and that's the status of Eric Berry.
Yeah, well, with Eric, it was, you know, it was frustrating, and he was really the most frustrated person of all, just because everyone knows how much, you know, he is, you know, compassionate about the whole process, that, you know, the practice, the games, and what he means to the team. So it was good to see him for that New England game, to take a full week of practice and to be out there, and kind of feel we left on a good note. And, you know, I think with Eric, like with all of our players, you know, they meet with the training staff at the end of the season, gather information with our docs and their representatives, and a lot of these guys have other specialists that they see, and they get first, second, third, fourth opinions, that type of deal, and then they compile it and put together a plan moving forward. So we're in that process now, and you know, we have a lot of information. Been here since 13 with Eric, and you know, there's been a lot of dialogue shared over the years, and certainly the last 2 years. So, you know, I'm confident that we'll be able to kind of work through this. And you know, when there is a definitive plan, I'm sure Rick and Coach will be able to address it.
I don't know, man. He stayed on your roster the whole year, and you wasted a roster spot, and he didn't give you that production. He's more of a coach than a player on the field. Injury settlement. Eric Berry, what do you got left in the tank? Do you want to start the process of becoming a secondary coach for the Kansas City Chiefs? God, I would love Eric Berry as a coach. Now, I don't know if he still can play or not, but this injury, man, it keeps derailing him. You got to look in the mirror and find that time. Is it time to leave or not? He's, you know, a younger guy. He can still play, but I'm all for Eric Berry becoming a coach at this point. And last but not least, and leave you with this before we move on. I thought this was interesting. With all the no-look passes, the precision passes, the arm strength, you name it. Brett Veach once called last year at the Combine, Patrick Mahomes one of the best he's ever seen. Before he'd even played it down, one of the best I've ever seen. Incredible talent evaluation there from Brett Veach. But he was asked, what surprised you about Mahomes the most? It'll catch you off guard. Here it is.
I think that to answer your question, because obviously he's a tremendous talent, and, you know, we had seen, I had obviously a chance to do a lot of work in college, and then you saw it all last year, and it was only preseason and maybe just one start, but you knew it was inevitable, it was coming, and, you know, that's kind of why I said some of the things I said last year at the Combine, because you kind of knew it was coming. I would say the thing that surprised me was the ease at which he did it, the consistency at which he did it, and then even with the great players that are young, I think you always anticipate maybe a wall at some point after 7-8 weeks. Okay, they figured this kid out. They know a couple different looks and coverages and combinations that give him issues. And, you know, there was really never a time, I don't think, that you went out there and were like, wow, you know, I'd like to have, you know, first time we played New England, I think, on the road there, you know, we're like, all right, this might be. But then it was like the second half, he just, you know, kind of rolled through their defense and then just continued on. So I would think the thing that surprised me, you know, was the ease at which he did it and the fact that he really never hit that. You know, again, I know his rookie year didn't play, but if you kind of consider this his rookie year, I think a lot of these young players do kind of hit a rookie wall at some point just in the length of the season and just by teams figuring out their weaknesses and trying to expose them more. But the fact that, you know, the long season didn't get to him, the pressure didn't get to him, and he never really hit that wall, I think was probably the most surprising thing.
There you go. His most impressive thing was he never hit that wall. And he talked about that Patriots game coming back in the second half. I loved it. He saw a bunch of challenges, played the best defense in the league, the Ravens, threw for 377. Constant challenges. Met the wits of Belichick twice. Scored 31 points in the second half. Plus, he battled back against New England. But he didn't hit that wall, and that was Brett Veach's most impressive thing with Pat Mahomes. I found that interesting. Coming up next, dynasty in the making? Well, Sports Illustrated certainly thinks so. We have a dynasty in our hands? We might.
Big Sunday.
Sports Illustrated was asked 10 voters to look at the next 5 years and predict a Super Bowl champion. Out of the 10 voters, not only did 8 expect the Chiefs to win a Super Bowl, but 6 actually have them down for multiple Super Bowls. It's crazy. It is crazy to think about how the Chiefs have changed that mindset from, I can't pick the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl because they don't never do. But they took steps by beating the Colts this year in the playoffs, go toe-to-toe against the New England Patriots. And I'm with them on that. I think the Chiefs can win 2 Super Bowls in the next 5 years. Andy Reid is signed through 2021. I could see an extension of that even beyond that. Because one thing is for sure, that combination of Reed and Mahomes, we're always looking for that quarterback-coach combination. It always gives you hope for next year. And I know right now Patrick Mahomes is the hope. He's the hope that you can get that Super Bowl ring. We watched it all offseason. It was great. It was great to see him win Pro Bowl MVP, even though I felt like it should have been the sausage, Anthony Sherman. You saw him win the Raiders MVP, Sporting News, you name it. He won the AP NFL MVP, which is insane at 23 years old. Young guy, just like him and Marino did. But there's no guarantees in football, but he gives us that guarantee that no matter what, we feel that we're going to be good. It's like Green Bay. They know they have Aaron Rodgers. They know they have a shot. Pittsburgh's got Big Ben. They know they have a shot. Tom Brady, New England, of course. They feel they have a shot, but not only a shot, they have a feeling and an expectation, like Kansas fans do to get to the Final Four. The Patriots have an expectation to get to the Super Bowl and win a ring. And for Kansas City, my expectation is Super Bowl next year or bust. That's got to be the mentality. We can't just be happy and content by making the postseason, making the AFC title game. Know that Lamar Hunt trophy went to the Patriots on your turf. In your house, the Patriots and Belichick, or Belichick and Brady collected their 9th Lamar Hunt Trophy. Now, they've been to 11 Super Bowls overall, but the combination of Belichick and Brady have been the 9, which is absolutely insane in a salary cap era of the NFL. But can the Chiefs do it? I think they can. Not only that, Andy Reid means business with this defense. Why he did not make these changes a year ago, why he didn't make these changes 2 years ago, I'll never know. 2 years ago, maybe because didn't know he had a quarterback. He still should have done it, because one thing he should have done with Alex Smith is realize there are limitations with him at quarterback and try to have a defense that can win a Super Bowl. The Patriots showed us that even though we talked about offense all season in the NFL, what ended up winning it? Defense did. The Patriots had held the first, the second, the sixth scoring offenses in the NFL to just 10 points collectively in the first half. They ran for over 140 yards a game. Wait a minute. The Patriots ran the football. They played defense. They had a franchise quarterback, and they won a Super Bowl. Andy Reid said, hey, man, Bob Sutton, you're wasting my opportunity. I don't know if it was Andy. You know, did Clark Hunt get involved and say, all right, Andy, we got to fix this? Because Clark Hunt does listen to the fans. He listened to the fans in 2012 when they flew banners that said, fire Scott Pioli. And he paid a lot of money to get out of that deal. He paid a hell of a lot of money to see that coaching staff go with Romeo Crennel. Clark Hunt has luncheons with season ticket holders, breakfast. He reads letters. He knows what you're talking about. He's got people to listen to the radio. They have the pulse of what's going on in Kansas City. And I guarantee you, they sat there and looked at our poll with 70% of the people with over 6,100 votes. 70% said bring Kareem Hunt back. 30% said different. They pay attention to that stuff. But Andy Reid finally makes this change to Steve Spagnuolo as defensive coordinator. And he's bringing in a good staff. Now, this Matt House thing doesn't look like it's going to work out. The Kentucky defensive coordinator, which, by the way, would have been a tremendous hire. Stay tuned on that. Kentucky negotiated with the Chiefs, and they pulled it back. I mean, come on, man. Come on, Kentucky. The same guy that allowed Missouri 0 points or first downs in the second half in the Tigers game. It's a hell of a coach. But Chiefs get Brendan Daly, defensive line coach. allegedly, Boston Globe reported, he's coming to the Chiefs in a similar role. We'll see about that. Nothing's done until it's done, as we learned with the Matt House deal. But they've made that change. They have the personnel there that's more fit for the 4-3 with some of the draft picks they made last year. Maybe they were forthright in what they were doing, saying, eventually we're going to switch to the 4-3. Now he's got a draft where he can concentrate on defense once again, although there is a great opportunity to get a skill position player in the second round since you have 2 second-round picks. We'll see what they do, but we have hope because of Pat Mahomes. He's the one reason you have hope. He's the one reason you say, all right, the Chiefs have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Now, I asked the question on the Bink at Night, are you satisfied with saying the season was a success? I deem it a success, and I know it's a loser mentality because they didn't go to the Super Bowl. Travis Kelce was asked that question by Dan Patrick. He said, no, it's not a success. You have to win it. You have to go to the Super Bowl. I get it. It's what players should say. But as fans or people in talk radio like me, it was a success because you actually exercised the demons against the Indianapolis Colts and got yourself in the AFC title game. Therefore, that's a success. Now, had they lost the Colts, not a success. You do the same thing. Just like losing the Titans, just like losing the Steelers, you haven't done anything. They took the steps. They dominated the Colts. Showed they could actually win a home game in the postseason. That was embarrassing. Colts had as many wins at Arrowhead Stadium as the Chiefs did. Not anymore. Chiefs have one more than they do. They just don't win in the postseason. They've proven they can do that. Well, Alex Smith did when he beat Brian Hoyer and the Texans, but heck, me and Ben could beat the Texans with Brian Hoyer playing.
True.
The Colts thing was impressive. Was impressive indeed. But some good things going on in Kansas City. Why you should be excited to be not only a Royals fan, but a Chiefs fan as well. We'll wrap the show up with that next.
Big Sunday.
And welcome back. As we mentioned, it's all about defense. Defense will take the Chiefs to the promised land. There was Kyle Brandt, NFL Network, talking about just that.
D Ford showed up this year, though. Big time. Deserves to get paid.
Every person around the NFL, every fan should care about this because I think that the Chiefs defense will dictate the entire AFC next year. It's one of the most important groups in the whole, all of football is Chiefs D. Show up and be decent, they're going to the Super Bowl.
Show up and be decent. You don't have to be great, just be good. Be 20th. Low expectations is perfect. It's why to get excited for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know the Royals just put out a new slogan, Always Royal, for 2019, which I think is cool. I mean, I'm not typically into slogans, but I'm fine with that. Always Royals, because you grew up in this town, that's who you like. You know, I grew up in Kansas City. It's my team. Royals, Chiefs, that's who I root for. And if I've said it's fun, well, no, I'm not saying it's like a barrel of laughs, but when the team loses and then they win, you feel so much better. It's like 2014. All the exhilaration and joy from fans that had suffered for so long, who never gave up on the team and switched to the Yankees, and the Royals clinched in Chicago in 14, they got excited. The Chiefs are on the cusp, or we're on the cusp of being in the Super Bowl this year, was just right there in front of us. To have a World Series in 15 and go to the Super Bowl in 19 would have been more than we could hope for in flyover country that we call Kansas City, where we don't get a lot of ton of the respect nationally for great teams. I feel that's changed, though. I feel the Royals brought respect to Kansas City with Hosmer and Moose and Kane and how good they were, brought respect to the city, Ned Yost, coaching in the All-Star games, that brought respect. But what I think truly brings you respect is when you win in the National Football League, because the National Football League, it moves the needle. And Patrick Mahomes moves the needle. He's a talking point. Now you got a Chief. I know people in this town, we get upset when we're not talked about nationally. I see it all the time. Why aren't they talking about us? Why won't they show our highlights? Why do the Chiefs' highlights get pushed to the end of the show? Not anymore. When you have the MVP, they don't get pushed to the back anymore. They get talked about. Peter King comes into stories in training camp. Mahomes ready to build on what he did last year. Last year's MVP, ready to go for next season. Cover of magazines. Patrick Mahomes brought spotlight to Kansas City, just like the Royals did in 14 and 15, and will again with the young core that they have. The Royals can be exciting to watch. It's going to be grab your popcorn and your beer and watch this team steal bases, be agitators like they once were. And maybe, just maybe, Dayton Moore is on the cusp of doing something again, reinventing the wheel. Dayton Moore built contracts for relief pitchers. I remember talking to a Cleveland relief pitcher once about just that, Andrew Miller, about how Dayton Moore raised the profile of relief pitchers and they're getting cash. They're getting bank because of what the Royals did. The Royals essentially, with that bullpen they had, made games six-inning games. It was lights out, shut down, 7, 8, 9. It's like having an elite quarterback. It's like having a Tom Brady. It's like having a Peyton Manning. It's like having anything in the Royals bullpen. And that became in vogue. Teams started to look for that. They started to look for pitchers that couldn't make it as starters if they could move them to relievers. Now teams have shifted to the opener, just trying to reinvent the wheel. Well, Dayton Moore's bringing sexy back. He's bringing stolen bases back, something that people haven't thought about since the 80s and 90s, since the days of Ricky Henderson and Tim Raines. Royals are going all out, man. Like the 85 Royals and Cardinals that could steal bases like crazy. You know, going back to Vince Coleman days. Watch what happens this year. Watch the Royals steal 250 bases, and then all of a sudden teams look in the mirror and go, hey, okay. The Cubs saw the value in Terrence Gore because remember they put him on their postseason roster. Like, all this worked in Kansas City. Is Dayton Moore once again on the cusp of doing something different? Are the Kansas City Chiefs on the cusp of doing something different by Patrick Mahomes and bringing in somebody different for the defense? I'm telling you, man, I have never been as excited about the sports in this town than I am right now. Because I know the Royals can do it again. Why? Because I trust Dayton Moore. Dayton Moore, who I call the best general manager in sports, won with the team on a low payroll, mid payroll, was able to win it. Small market teams aren't winning the World Series. Protein House, eat with the purpose, text line 69306. What small market team is winning the World Series? They're not. But he did it here. And our football team went to the AFC title game. Do we have hopes they can go through and push through for the Super Bowl, and they're making the changes necessary to do it? I mean, off-the-wall changes like switching defensive philosophies from a 3-4 to a 4-3. What can we do to take that next step? It's aggressiveness. See what you can do. See if you have the right personnel to be a 4-3. Make the adjustments. You better do it quick, and you better be right. You better be right before you have to pay Chris Jones and Tyreek Hill and lose one of them. Those guys are instrumental in this team. Chris Jones is instrumental. He's the best player on the defense. Tyreek Hill, outside of Patrick Mahomes, is the best player on the offense. But there's reasonable expectations for the Chiefs to be a Super Bowl team. And we can't always say that. It was kind of a homer take. Yeah, I think the Chiefs will be in the Super Bowl. Now it's a realistic take. And not only a take from you in Kansas City, telling your friends at the bar or at work that you think the Chiefs can be a Super Bowl team, they're saying it nationally too. They're saying it nationally too. The Chiefs are making the changes to get to the Super Bowl. Now the Royals are going to be a couple years away. Remember, all their talent was in Lexington last year. The only Royals minor league team to be in the postseason. That's a good sign. As you might remember, Northwest Arkansas in 2010 with Duffy and Moose and Hosmer. They won the Texas League title. 2011, they won the PCL title, Pacific Coast League in Omaha, when Sal Perez and Lo Kane was synced up with them. The Royals went draft heavy on college pitchers that aren't that far away for the major leagues. Now, they'll take their time, they'll matriculate through the system, but the Royals will be fun to watch. Now, the wins may not be where you want them. Pecota has them a 72-win team. But it's an exciting brand of baseball, meaning you're not going to get bored watching the Royals. You don't get bored watching the Kansas City Chiefs. You do not grab your go up and get a beer when Patrick Mahomes and the offense is out there because you don't know what he's going to do. No look pass, hit Tyreek Hill for 69 yards. You don't know what's going to happen. Royals are going to be the same way. Adalberto Mondesi, what is this guy going to do? Is he going to hit another monster home run? Is he going to steal a base on the fly? What's he going to do? I just think there's so much uncertainty in a good way for both the Royals and the Chiefs. This is a great time, and I mean a great time, to be a Kansas City sports fan. Heck, if you're a soccer fan, Sporting KC, always good. Always good. But as far as Chiefs and Royals, no, the Royals are on their way back because they've done it before. There is zero reason to doubt Dayton Moore. Dayton Moore came out this year and was going to rebuild. And we need to stock our farm system. What'd he do? He stocked his farm system. It's one of the farm systems that had the most improvements in 1 year than any other farm system in baseball. He did it. He said he wanted to do it. Now he said he didn't want to talk about the rebuild anymore, which I love. It's not time to talk about that anymore. It's time to talk about winning and moving forward. It's why Ned Yost was so excited to come back this year. He was excited. I can't say that Ned Yost would have come back if the Royals continued to play the way they did the first half of the season. But they showed promise. It was fun going to the ballpark every year. It was fun to cover that team. Well, I appreciate you listening. Don't forget to listen to Fesco in the morning at 5:58. Tons of giveaways, including a new Axiom Brewery gift certificate. Thanks to Ben Alper producing this operation. I'll see you guys later. Have a good weekend.
Big Sunday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.